Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God and the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah. "Weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said, "take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophet had said, "He will be called a Nazarene." All of Matthew chapter 2. Then Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Verses 26 to 45, Luke chapter 1. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful and the glorious and the joy-filled and grace-filled stories that make up the Christmas narratives. Thank you for the opportunity to read them, to meditate on them, and to think on them, and to draw from them the powerful faith stories that teach us about faith in you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the salvation he brought, the importance of living for you, following you, standing for life, and standing just for your truth. Empower us, Lord, to be the church that's full of your Spirit, full of your word, committed to hearing your word and living your word each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how you had an entire nation waiting for our Savior. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for his death, for his life, for his resurrection. Heavenly Father, we just pray that this Christmas season, we would have our minds set more on the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Thank you so much for his birth. And Heavenly Father, just open our ears to hear what you have to say today. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family here on the Hour of Intercession. As we often do, want to take time to share a resource article that we hope that you'll email us to get a copy of it so that you'll have it for your own walk with the Lord, a tool to use to encourage your family in their walk with the Lord, and also a tool to share and further by way of email, share it with family, friends, coworkers, saved or unsaved individuals as well. The title of this article is Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. Again, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. Interwoven into the fabric of the wonderful story of Christmas is this unique truth. Christmas and expecting moms go hand in hand. Yes, pregnancy, and specifically crisis pregnancy, has a precious and heartwarming tie to the Christmas story. How so? Well, actually, it's very obvious. The Christmas story has not just one, but two unusual pregnancies. The specific story within the Christmas story is captured in Luke chapter 1. Two mothers meet, come together, and worship and fellowship with one another. One is a teenage mother that has miraculously conceived by a virgin pregnancy. The other mom is one who would normally be classified as a grand or great-grandmother based on her age, yet she too is an expecting mom and excited to be so. We often see and think of this story as a warm, lovely story full of peace, joy, and grace, and it is. Yet the world then was in so many ways a very harsh, cruel, and perilous world to live in. A world where foreign armies occupied Israel, where kings and nations sometimes killed babies in large numbers, and where jealousy and disloyalty abounded. Actually, it sounds a lot like the world we live in today. Our world is one where children can legally be killed from conception right up until the moment of delivery. And governments not only do not oppose this in too many cases, they often finance the carrying out of these tragedies. And often so-called, quote-unquote, experts advise for all sorts of foolish and trivial or misguided reasons advise women to end the lives of their babies in the womb. And time again, the women are advised to terminate their children based on, quote-unquote, the wisdom or so-called insight of these so-called experts. All the while, the counsel and clear guidance from God's word is clear: you shall not murder. See Exodus 20, verse 13. God's word is our guidebook for life. His word will never lead us to make a bad or unwise decision. God himself is wisdom. So we need to stand on the wisdom of God's word, which will always lead us to blessing, grace, and fulfillment. The word of God also says, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. See Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. In looking at the beautiful and grace-filled stories of Christmas, let's consider a what-if scenario. In seeking to bring together the world of the time of the first Christmas and today with our culture and many of its misguided perspectives, let's consider what if. Dr. Johann eyed his young patient long and hard. Young Miss Mary, you're just a teenager. You're not even fully an adult. You really need to think this through. It simply would not be wise for you to keep this baby. You're not married. You do not know how to tell your betrothed that you are pregnant, and you're just a child yourself. Child, you must listen to wisdom. If you keep this baby, your betrothed will surely divorce you. You'll be a single mother, and you'll be poor, a poor single mother. No one will want you. You'll end up all alone and die in poverty, and no one will ever remember your name. And your child will surely amount to nothing, and no one will ever remember his name either. You must not keep this child. Trust me, I'm a doctor, and we know all about matters like this. Be reasonable. You and the rest of the world will be so much better off if we just quietly do away with this baby. What do you say? Mary's response to the doctor, good day, doctor. I'm keeping my baby. Mark my words, said Dr. Johann. You and your baby will never amount to anything, and no one will ever remember your names. On another day, Dr. Johann looked at the elderly woman very curiously. Listen, Elizabeth, I don't know how in the world this came to be, you being pregnant when you're old enough to be someone's great-grandmother yourself, but let me be straight with you. You really should not keep this child. With your being so old and carrying a child, there will probably be something wrong with the child. A woman your age could not possibly have a healthy child. The baby will probably have many problems. At your age, who knows, you and the child both could die during childbirth, during labor. Be reasonable. Make it easy on yourself and the baby, and just get rid of it. If the child does survive childbirth, he probably will have so many problems, he probably won't even be able to talk. His life will never amount to anything, and he'll probably grow up to be a burden on society and nothing else. Mark my words, I'm a physician, and we understand all about these kinds of things. Don't you think you should do away with the baby? Elizabeth's response to Dr. Johann, good day, doctor, I'm keeping my baby. Suit yourself, old woman, but know this, you and the whole world will regret your decision. I'm a professional, and I know very well how these kinds of things turn out. Again, the title of the article, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is a guide that helps us to know what's right, what's wrong, what honors you and what doesn't honor you. And it can help us to know how to make the right decision 100% of the time. Help us individually and as a church to always be fully committed to listening to your word and your spirit and committed to being faithful hearers and doers as a lifestyle. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ, the King, whom shepherds guard and angels see. From our hearts our praises ring to the babe, the Son of Mary.
Music from Casting Crowns with What Child Is This? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're honored and privileged to have, actually for the first time, Father Frank Pavone. He's the National Director of Priests for Life. Father Frank, how are you today?
Pastor Joseph, I'm doing great. Happy Advent. That was a great reflection that you shared with us in that first segment.
Yes, sir. Well, again, we're very honored to have you on as we talk about the things we'll be talking about today. And would say again, yeah, as I mentioned, this is our first time actually having you on, but we're grateful to have you on. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourself and tell our listeners. Many have heard of Priests for Life, but there may be a few who've never heard of it. So if you'll tell them about that, and then we'd like to dive in to talk about the things that are on your heart to talk about today.
Well, thank you. So I grew up in New York, and I became a Catholic priest. But in the process of so doing, I got very involved in the pro-life movement, and I really felt called by God to devote my whole life and ministry to saving the children in the womb from the violence of abortion. Mm-hmm. Now, I was finding great success in my congregation that I was ministering to, as I preached about abortion and taught the people about it and urged them to get involved in the pro-life movement, I saw a lot of response. And I started thinking, what if we could help clergy around the country to do this in their own churches, not just Catholic, but across the body of Christ? So I felt that call to ministry, and that's what this group, Priests for Life, is about. It's not just for priests, but it started as a movement among Catholic priests to say, we got to do more to teach the people about the unborn baby and how they could save these babies, how damaging abortion is. So I began full-time in that work in 1993 as the National Director of Priests for Life. And so we're an educational, gospel-centered ministry. We serve the whole body of Christ. We preach in churches. We teach. We broadcast. We do seminars. We publish. We have a speakers bureau that includes people like Dr. Alveda King and many others that have been in ministry for a long time. We do a lot of healing work after abortion. So we have the world's largest ministry, again, biblically based ministry to bring people to the healing and forgiveness of Christ if they have had the unfortunate experience of aborting a child. We do these retreats all around the country, all around the world. Mm-hmm. And then we do the political stuff too. We get voters educated and registered and activated and try to bring pro-life candidates into office so that protecting the unborn doesn't just become a wish that we have, but something that actually gets translated into public policy. So we are a multifaceted ministry. We have our activities in all the different branches of the pro-life movement. And that's what I still do to this very day, and very happy to share that with our audience.
Well, if someone wants to get in touch with you or be in touch or learn more about Priests for Life, can you tell them how to do that?
Yes, we have a main website at prolifecentral.org. And the name, of course, implies what I was just saying, that it is a very multifaceted ministry. So prolifecentral.org, and then they'll see the different kinds of activities and branches of work that we have. And then they could find me on social media too, Fr. Frank Pavone, for Father Frank Pavone, Fr. Frank Pavone on all the major platforms, and would love to love to connect with people and show them the different projects they can get involved in.
All righty. Would you take time now specifically to pray for our listeners that they would have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them, and that I believe very much so the Lord will impress people in different directions insofar as how to get involved with standing for life in the place where he's called them, or getting involved with supporting the work God's called them in their communities. But would you pray for them at this time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's pray. Lord, at the dawn of creation, there was darkness and chaos, and you breathed your Holy Spirit so that there could be light and life and order and beauty. Lord, again, we live in a world that is broken by chaos, darkness, sin, violence, and violence against our most defenseless brothers and sisters, the babies in the womb. We need your Spirit again. Send the Holy Spirit to bring light, to bring order, to bring beauty, to bring life out of death. And Lord God, each one of us, by professing faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, has also received the gift of this Spirit. May that Spirit, therefore, who is our advocate in the heights of heaven, make us advocates here on earth for our youngest, most defenseless brothers and sisters. Let that Spirit breathe over our own minds and hearts, clarifying in our mind the reality that in the womb is not just a child, but our brother, our sister. Let that Holy Spirit strengthen our will, that we might have courage to speak up for the voiceless, remembering the words of your Son, whatsoever you did for the least of my brethren, you did for me. And Lord, that we see that no sacrifice is too great to make for our youngest brothers and sisters. For you have told us in your word that as you showed your love by handing over to the cross your Son, so we are to lay down our lives for one another. Enable us, Lord, to live out this truth. Enable us, Lord, to constantly live the love of your Spirit that goes to the helpless, that goes to the vulnerable, that goes to the weakest. Show us, Lord, what we can do, always having the confidence that we're not just working for victory, but we're working from victory, that death has already been conquered in Christ, that we already have a victory today, that we can celebrate and proclaim and serve with great and tremendous joy, even as we face these horrible evils. Bless your people, Lord, the people of life, for we worship the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We follow your Son, Jesus Christ, and because he is life, we stand with life, and we stand against whatever destroys life. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father Frank. I want to ask you this, Father Frank, as we dive right into really discussing some of the things that you've both seen and been involved with. You've been involved with the pro-life cause for many, many years, and I would say praise God for the fact that in so many ways the Catholic church family has provided so much leadership for the body of Christ and as it relates to the life issue. Yet there's so much more that the church as a whole could be doing. Would you share just some of your thoughts and your perspective as it relates to how you'd like to see the church more involved, things you think are important goals for the church to be pursuing in our current cultural environment?
Yes, and that's such an important question because, you know, we have so many people in every church congregation who are right now desperate and afraid because of an unexpected pregnancy. We heard in the Word of God that you shared in the first segment how, you know, the mother of Jesus, it was an unexpected pregnancy, and she was afraid, and the angel had to comfort, console, and strengthen her, and of course, Joseph protected her and the child. So many women in our congregation, so many men. These are people who they may have been thrown off balance in their lives now because of a pregnancy they feel they cannot handle. My first hope for the church would be that that would be the first place that they would want to go to find the reassurance and the help and the hope the first place that they would feel welcome, that they would not be afraid to approach their pastors or their others in the church that are, you know, deacons or helping out with ministry in one way or another, that they wouldn't be afraid of being judged or condemned, that they wouldn't be afraid of that the pastors wouldn't understand their problems or wouldn't be able to refer them to the places where there is help. That's the good news in the midst of all this. I mean, first of all, with abortion, we're talking about something that takes more life than anything else. You know, we think about diseases. We think about the most common diseases, heart disease, cancers, and so forth. The numbers of abortions are close to twice as many as are deaths each year by either cancer or heart disease. And we look at violence, we look at war and terrorism. The numbers don't come anywhere near the million lives every year that are taken by abortion just in the United States. And there's nothing that takes more human life than abortion. In the church, We've got to provide a refuge. And the good news is that there are four times as many pregnancy centers that are providing, these are places that are providing non-judgmental counseling, assistance, resources, practical resources to bring that child to birth and then either to raise that child or to make an adoption plan. The good news is the help is available. So the question for the church is, do you know how to minister to the woman in your congregation that has these needs? Do you know what to say to her, how to encourage her, where to connect her with these pregnancy centers? Do you as a church have a relationship with the nearest pregnancy centers? These are all things that can be done very easily and will literally start saving lives right away. To let people know that's our attitude and that we're willing and ready to help, of course, means we've got to say something about it. And that's where the teaching and the preaching come in. You know, there's got to be mentioned more from the pulpit or on the church website or in the church bulletin or even on the property with a sign. There's some churches that have signs that say, if you're pregnant or in need, come talk to us. We'll help you. We just got to be very explicit about the issue and about our willingness to help. Because when people know we're willing to help them, then they're going to be open to the rest of the pro-life message as well. Because many people think we're judging them, condemning them right from the start. And it's like, well, why would I want to talk to them about this? You know, I don't want to be condemned. I want to be helped. So I think that's the first duty of the church in regard to this issue.
Mm. Would you take time specifically to pray for leadership in that? Like, we live in a world where so much rises and falls on leadership. And too often we find leaders that are either timid or just downright afraid, or, to be honest, sometimes just really cowardly when it comes to really addressing this issue. Would you pray for leaders and pastors and leaders in the church?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Well, Father, your Apostle Paul said to Timothy, whom he was raising up in leadership, that the spirit God has given us is no cowardly spirit. Lord, we ask you to drive fear and cowardice far, far away from us, and give us instead, especially the pastors of your church, the heart of a good shepherd. Lord, we see that the good shepherd is not afraid. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He does not run away to leave the sheep to be scattered and eaten by the wolves. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of the good shepherd. Thank you for the example and spirit of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the raising up to ministry all those whom you have called, and for equipping those that you call to do this work, to preach the gospel clearly, to save lives effectively, not to shrink away from giving the full counsel of God and preaching, as Paul again said, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, welcome or unwelcome. Lord, you promised that there would be persecution, that there would be opposition. It's not a maybe. It's a certainty that we who proclaim your word will face serious pushback. But Lord, give us that courage that flows from that same spirit that came at Pentecost and made those men who were behind locked doors for fear of the ones who crucified Jesus nevertheless come out of those doors and speak to all the world that the one whom the builders rejected is now the cornerstone and the only name given by which we are to be saved. Give that courage, give that spirit, give that enthusiasm to all whom you have called to ministry so that your church may be blessed and flourish with the grace of the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father Frank, would you share with our listeners again, if they want to get in touch with you or learn more about Priest for Life, tell them how they can do that.
Yes, yes. So we're at prolifecentral.org, and you'll see many resources for churches, for individuals, prayer campaigns, and preaching resources, and just things individuals can do. prolifecentral.org, and I'm on social media at Fr. Frank Pavone on all the major platforms.
All righty. Well, we're coming up on a break, and on the other side of the break, I'm going to ask if you'll pray further for you've touched on this very beautifully, but the great work and ministry pregnancy clinics are doing in our culture, and also the need, there's such a need for the church to come alongside and do more to support that work. So we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Father Frank Pavone. He's the National Director for Priests for Life. We'll be right back.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him a room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
The music of Mercy Me with Joy. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Father Frank Pavone. He's the National Director for Priests for Life. And Father Frank, as we begin this segment, would you specifically pray for the great work, you touched on it earlier, the great work that pregnancy ministers are doing? And we ask if you'll pray specifically for the pregnancy ministry, the Lord led us to start as well, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center that serves in the Mississippi Delta. But the great work of pregnancy clinics all over our nation and beyond, and for the church to become much more supportive and come alongside them as well. Would you lift those matters up in prayer?
Yes, absolutely. So, Lord, we thank you for the love that you inspire us to have for one another, for the service that the Word of God so clearly calls us to from beginning to end, making the needs of others our own, bearing one another's burdens, weeping with those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice, understanding that we are not strangers in Christ. We are brothers and sisters. We are members of the same body, living branches on the same vine, living stones in the same living temple of God. We are so united, more united with one another than we even realize. And so, Lord, when there is a suffering, when there is a loneliness, when there is a burden, when there is confusion in the heart and mind of a young mom or a young dad or perhaps their parents who might, out of their fear, press them to have an abortion, when there are friends speaking to them, not words of hope, but words of despair, saying, oh, well, you have to have an abortion. There's no other way forward. Lord, we would pray now that in those situations, your people whether it's relatives, friends, fellow worshipers, perhaps fellow employees in the same place of work, or just fellow citizens, Lord, that your people would speak into that despair and into that loneliness the words, oh God, that you speak to us. I am with you. Is that not the message of Christmas? Is that not the message of Advent? Is that not the message of the gospel? They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Lord God, your Son, before he ascended into heaven, as we read at the end of Matthew's gospel, said, lo, I am with you. I am with you always, until the end of the age. And Lord, we go to the end of the scriptures, and we see in the book of Revelation, when John describes the heavenly Jerusalem and our final destiny, he says he will be their God, and he will be with them always, and his name will be written on their foreheads. Lord, you are the God who is with us more than we can imagine. And so we pray in a culture where so many are just swept to the doors of the abortion clinics, not because of freedom of choice, but because they feel they have no freedom and no choice. We pray that your people, inspired by your words, I am with you, will say exactly that same thing to those pregnant moms, those frightened dads, those family members and friends who may be more the voices of despair than of hope. Bless this pro-life movement. Bless the pregnancy centers who every day, Lord God, are seeking to replace despair with hope. That is our mission, and that is what you equip us to do. We ask you to bless every pregnancy center, the thousands and thousands that are in our midst. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to give them volunteers and staff who will be fully equipped for this mission and who will not grow weary because they take their strength from you. And we ask you to provide them, Lord, the medical professionals that can carry out their work, as well as the financial resources that are necessary to do this work day by day. And may the communities around this nation and the churches be more and more aware of the work of these centers and more supportive of them as we give witness to your word of life. We ask this, as in all things, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father Frank. Well, can you tell me, are there other matters or matters that are on your mind or your heart as a leader in the pro-life cause that are critical issues for us to be looking at in our culture today?
You know, there's so much going on in the pro-life movement, and you know, a lot of it does interface with our legislative and political world. And, you know, some people feel like, well, faith and politics, they really don't go together. But the Bible is very political. You know, so many of the biblical figures that we're all familiar with were involved in political life, or they mm-hmm. were, or they were servants to the king, or they were prophets to the king. I mean, the prophets didn't hesitate to speak to those in political power and let them know exactly what God wanted them to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we spoke before about the resources we provide to churches. And there's a special website, prolife.church, prolife.church, that'll show, you know, many of the things we've been talking about already in terms of prayer, preaching, connecting with the pregnancy centers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But is also what is there is equipping the church to deal with the whole world of politics. And I mention this because, you know, in just a few weeks, we're going to be entering into the new year. And mm-hmm. 2026 is going to be a big, important election year in our country again. We're going to have the midterm elections. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be equipping churches to deal with this. Mm-hmm. So much depends on it because, you know, as we said at the very beginning, I think the first prayer that I said here today, you know, we don't want it to be wishful thinking when we say, Lord, you know, protect these children from abortion or help these moms, help these dads. it can't just be wishful thinking. It's got to be translated into the actual policies that are shaping our country and either protecting or not protecting these vulnerable children. We can step up to the plate in a very gospel-centered way. We're not asking the pastors to become politicians. We're not asking people to replace their faith in Christ with faith in politics. We're not doing that at all. What we're saying is, we who believe in and follow Christ hear his call to go into the world. He says, go into all the nations, teach them to observe everything I've commanded you, and baptize them, and he sends us to all the nations. Mm-hmm. So if they're going to follow everything that he has commanded us, well, that's got to translate into our laws, our court decisions, and, you know, good laws don't just fall down from heaven. Good laws come because God's people elect good lawmakers. I would just encourage everybody, take a good look at what's going to be happening in 2026. We have another special website, Joe, that is dedicated to this. It's called Pro Life Vote. ProLifeVote.com. And again, from a very gospel-centered biblical perspective, we equip believers and their churches to really make a difference in the in the world of politics in a positive way, and in a way that does really what government is meant to do from the beginning, and that is protect human life. This year, 2026, is not only that it's the midterm elections, but there's something also very special about it. It's the 250th birthday of our country. Now, I've been involved in a lot of the efforts of planning for this. There's going to be many great celebrations and initiatives around our country, educational initiatives, prayer initiatives, and so forth. But keeping that in mind, too, because what happened 250 years ago was that the Declaration of Independence was adopted. And as our listeners know, you know, one of the first things that that declaration says is that we have the right to life. It's given by God, and governments exist to secure that right. What better time than 2026, as we celebrate this very special anniversary, for us to re-educate ourselves in what that means. What is that principle? What is that declaration? And to teach it to our children, and to proclaim it to our fellow citizens, and to translate it into good public policy. So that's very much on my mind and on the mind of our ministry, and we're ready to equip people to do that in the new year.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, to your point, Father Frank, too, you know, the Word of God speaks of, he says, and the government shall be on his shoulders. And the reality is, even the tragic story we read of Herod, the government killing babies then, in the day of Moses, the government killing babies. So, yes, we as God's people need to be involved in every area of life representing him. So, but our time is just about gone. Any final word in the next 30 seconds you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yes. Now, I'm sure that there are some in the audience who have had abortions, and I just want to speak a word of comfort to them. You know, we who reject abortion do not reject those who have had abortions. And we have a large ministry for healing after abortion. And we just want you to know you're not alone. We understand your pain. There is healing, and there are many people who have been through healing who are share their stories, and that's our Silent No More campaign. And that could be the topic of a whole other conversation, but many have shared their testimonies, and if folks go to silentnomore.com, they'll see those testimonies, and it's a proclamation, once again, of the great salvation we have in Christ.
That's right. That's right. The Word tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we serve a God that when we confess sin and repent of it, God will forgive. So, but thank you, Father Pavone. One more time, the website to contact you and Priest for Life.
Yes, ProLifeCentral.org, everybody, ProLifeCentral.org, and find me on social media at FR Frank Pavone.
All right. And we would like to say to every listener, please pray much for Father Frank Pavone and the work, the great work and ministry of Priests for Life as they provide leadership for the body of Christ throughout our nation as it relates to standing for life and standing against the tragedy of abortion. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today, and you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step during this Advent season, Christmas season, it's a wonderful time to get saved and give your life to Christ. If you want to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now and fully commit your heart to the Lord? You can simply pray this prayer with me even now. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You came as a small baby and as our Savior. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent, and I turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to follow you and obey you daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to connect with you, wanting to be in touch with you once again. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch with us. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. We definitely want to connect with you. Also, if you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared at the early part of the broadcast, again, the title, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life, simply email us. Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy of that to you as well. And again, please pray much for Father Frank Pavone and the great work and ministry and mission of Priests for Life. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.